Thank you, Father, may your Spirit continue to flow in here today. May the breeze of the Holy Spirit, Lord, just speak, touch, anoint. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
The anointing oil of the power of the Holy Spirit is upon us. Receive all you can today. For his love and his compassion and his heart is for his people. Receive him.
We do, Lord.
Receive him.
Thank you, Lord.
With a joyful heart.
Hallelujah.
With a joyful heart. Open up your arms to him and your love. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord.
You're a loving God. Thank you, Father. Father, we don't have to tell you that we all go through struggles, that we have hard times and difficult times. But I believe you'd want to let us know that you're there with us through those times. And that you're going to be with us and bring us through whatever it is, Lord God. We just surrender it to you. And as it was shared, your love, the anointing, the Spirit of God just flow. Renew in us our hearts. I don't know what this past week has been for each and every one of us, Lord. You do. And thank you, Father, for touching our hearts today. I pray, Lord, that we are open and receptive to hear your words today that are spoken. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Today I want to launch a little bit more. Last week we talked about giving God our heart. That's why it's important. We sing songs, we sing worship and praise, and speaking of surrendering and sacrifice of praise, and with a thankful heart. We got to have a thankful heart. We got to have a heart that's open to him so that he can have more of it. And so we talked about that. And I want to take off from that. So we've given God our heart. But then I was looking through some scriptures again. And I just hit upon that of Proverbs 4:23 and Solomon sharing. In Proverbs 4:23, you'd keep yourself out of a lot of problems if you just kind of read Proverbs every month. You know, getting the wisdom that's in there is just powerful. And what was said back then and what Solomon wrote is so true for us here today. But in Proverbs 4:23, the New King James would say, keep your heart with all diligence. Because why? For out of it spring the issues of life. When you look at that, what the first version that I was looking at when I read that was actually in the New Living, where it said, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Can you believe the heart that you have is going to determine the course of your totality of life? That's a lot. It's an important part of understanding the importance of guarding your heart, giving your heart to God, giving him these things and working within it. Now, we're going to touch upon that a little bit more. But as Solomon was sharing, and I was looking at it a little bit more, and the Amplified says, watch your heart with all diligence. Remember the King James, New King James says, out of it spring. Well, in the Amplified it says, for from it flow the springs of life. Now we're getting into that word of the springs of life. The Century Version, New Century says, be careful what you think. Now, where we're saying keep your heart with all diligence, the New Century says, what? Be careful what you think. It's an important thing to keep this processing in our thoughts, in our spirit, that how important our heart is. Now, we talked last week where it confirms back and forth, the heart here, the heart, the mind, all of these things that interacts and what you're thinking and doing and the process. But if we just look at it, be careful what you think. Because we've talked about that sometimes. We know that so as you think, so are you. Right? When you begin to think on things, it begins to manifest. When it begins to manifest, hopefully, guess what? If I'm thinking on the things of God, what's going to manifest? Things of God. God is all in tuned into my life, and I want to be closer to Him and listening to Him and reading His scriptures and reading His word and letting it be developing within me. So I want to, what? I want to be thinking on my God. But if I don't think on God, I've got to think on something else. If I'm thinking on something else, what else am I thinking of? We turn it into, we begin to think of the things of the world. We begin to think of the things of the world. Now we have a problem. It'll just capture you and take you away. It'll take you further from that of God before you even know that it has you. The world is very sneaky at just a little here and a little there. I think we've had teachings on that about a little leaven. Little thing of little yeast in that loaf. What's it do? It causes things to develop. It mushrooms and gets bigger and bigger. So be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. If I begin to think that way, and if I can, my heart begin to think and process the things of keeping my mind, my heart on God, that's what's going to run my life. Rule. We hear a scripture where it says, may the peace of God, you know, peace of God in you. That peace there, when you look at it in the understanding of what that meant, it was like a peace is like that of an umpire ruling. Let peace rule your life. Let peace rule what's going on in your situation. That's part of that shalom type thing too. But if we can begin to look at these things and understand that if I think on these things, if I process through these things, if I am wanting to think on the things of God, then I believe God is going to give me what He's got. And He's going to slowly but surely push out the things of this world. We are all still processing things of the world in us. We talked about that probably in Sunday school a little bit. You know, it's a little bit here, a little bit there of God continuing to move in. Trying to think of something to think about, but it's just like in a natural way, as you've got 15 blocks here and you push a block in this side, this is a new block of what God has for me, and all these 15 are here are my 15 of things that I've done in the world or what I've been hoping and doing and what's been holding in my life. As I begin to push that new block of God into that, this over here, that first block, is going to drop out. And so what we've got to do is continually be thinking of God to come into our heart, into our thoughts. And I believe what those things happen, yes, miraculously, He can shoot out all those things and be instantaneously fully of Him. Praise God if you're one of those. But am I speaking to the choir? You know, that it's a block by block time sometimes, two or three at a time. God is pushing things of Him into my heart, and the things of this life that I've had, it gets pushed out, and I don't want them back anymore. I want to let them fall by the wayside and allow God to continue to take that heart of mine and fill it with Him. So as we look at this, our heart, our feelings of love and desire, it dictates to a great extent on how we live. Because we always find time to do what? You will always find time to do what you enjoy. And that's okay. That's the way God made us. When we find something that we like in the world and He gave us a talent and a gift for it, praise God. He wants us to do those things, and He wants us to enjoy those things. But I believe, just as it said, like how we talk about how money is the root of all evil, it's not money is the evil. It's the money having you, and you desire more of it, and the money is controlling you. Everything in this side of heaven wants to control you. Whether it's the money you have, it wants to control you. Your job, it wants to control you. Your hobby, it wants to control you. Whatever it is wants to control you, because if we begin to look at what we always want and enjoy, we will find a way to do it. And so what God is just saying, hey, Tim, I just want you now to start thinking more of me. I want you to keep thinking of me. And the more that I do, and I find that time where I want to be with him, those times when I was growing into that of the Lord more and more, I had that hunger, which was necessary, to want more of him than I wanted of staying home at night or staying home on Wednesday after I got off of the road from my job at that time. I said, no, I have got to go to church on Wednesday night. It wasn't man said I had to. It wasn't man saying, if you don't go, you're not going to be a part of this church. No, it was God even talking to me to say, you'll never know what's going to be spoken of that particular time, and it could be something very well that you need to hear. And when I heard that in my spirit, it just put more of an attitude into me to tell the devil, get out of here, devil. I'm going, even though I'm tired and I just got home at whatever time off of the road, because I used to travel almost the entire state of Wisconsin. I would go up to Door County and Green Bay and Wausau and Stevens Point and Black River, Tomah. And rather than stay out, sometimes I would go out and I would come back on Wednesday, so I could be back on Wednesday for Bible study at the old church that we were attending. Because God had began to come more into my heart. That one or two blocks of my career and my job and all that I told God, I love my job so much, began to be pushed out. And God began to come in. Little at a time. It wasn't a major shakeup for me. Could be for you. We're all different. But it, as I was processing these things and beginning to understand, and I didn't know all of this back then, but God was showing me and talking to me and letting me know. But then when I read some studies about this, because it says dictates, our heart, our feelings of love and desire dictates to the great extent on how we live, because we always find time to do what we enjoy. Now, the fervency that I had for my job and what I had there, I've flipped it to that of God. Took a time, took a little bit here, a little bit there. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Okay? Is he working on you? In the verse that we read here, Solomon is telling us to guard our heart above all else, making sure that we concentrate on those desires that will keep us on the right path. Folks, you're on a path in this life. God's word says you're either serving him or you're serving the devil. The world out there will think nothing about that. They will think, I'm on my own path, I'm doing my own thing, I'm enjoying it, nobody tells me what to do. You are being guided and directed by someone, some force. It's either that of good or that of evil. And I'm not saying that because, well, you got to. It says choose this day who you're going to serve. But as we get into that, you know, we find how important that is. And then we look back and we go, oh my gosh, I was allowing myself to be led around this place and this world by that of the devil. And it may not have been serious type things, but if he can keep you just innocently away from God, it can turn into serious things, because you begin to lose what all God has for you, because he's got a plan and a purpose for you. And all the devil wants to do is just to take away that path that makes you getting closer to your purpose, so that you can just stay in the world thinking you're fulfilling something great, and realization at the end of this life, you didn't win. This world ate you up. So we've got to watch those things. And so as we read this, and I guess that's why when I came across this in that New Living, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Everyone in here, everyone outside the doors and the walls of this church, they're on a course. They're on a path going through this life. And we pray that they find that of Christ and salvation sooner than later. But that we at least, I hope they find it before they take their last breath, you know. And the thing is the purpose is to say this, hey, there's a lot more good things happening with God than you think. The world, the devil tries to tell you, oh great, you're going to be one of those. you're going to have to give up this and give up that and do away with this and throw this out, and oh, you can't have this and you can't have that. Well, only if God tells you. But God is a loving, caring, faithful God. He knows what pleases you. He knows what he has for you. And so if we can just get that lie out of our thoughts and to say, devil, I'm not going to give up anything unless my Lord tells me to, but I haven't had to give up a whole lot coming to serve him. Oh, yeah, I guess I can't stay at home. I would start going to church on Sundays. Oh, I started going on Wednesdays. Oh, I started going on Sunday night. But you know, it's because the Spirit of God talked to me about those things, and I listened, and I responded. And by doing those things, my life was redirected. But it's even still being redirected. Your life is still being redirected. I mean, I'm on that trajectory of serving God and going to where he's wanting, but he's still fine-tuning. Thank God it's not like that rocket that went up the other day and blew up. You know, God's not like that, you know, on the trajectory and the things of that nature. He will work with you. He will take time in your heart. He just wants to know, are you willing to begin? Sometimes the heart, isn't it saying this, the hardest part are to go anywhere, it's the first step that takes you there. So we've got to think of that of God. God's not saying, Tim, I want you from here to there in a week. No. He says, Tim, I want you from here to there. Now take a step. Okay. Not so bad. Oh, I had to change, had to do some things, had to adjust. Now he says, take another step or two. As I get into his word, as I meditate more with him, as I surrender more of myself to him, as I say, more of you, Lord, and less of me. But he's a caring, loving God. But we have to make that step. We got to start that journey. He's not going to push you. He's not going to drag you. He's not going to lasso you and yank you along. So Solomon is saying, guard your heart above all else, making sure that we concentrate on those desires that will keep us on that right path. We need to make sure our affections lead us in that right direction. We need to put boundaries on our desires. Don't go everywhere or after everything that you see. That's another danger that we have, right? We see it, we want it. Anybody here been tantalized by the devil at times to show you something and you go, ooh, that looks good. I think I want that. And I'm not talking, you know, crazy bad stuff that he's showing you, but we look at something and go, oh, I like that over there. I'm going to go that way. You know, when I drive on Court Street by Culver's, I got to close my eyes when I go by there because I don't want to see what's on the marquee because it might say something that I want. So I don't want to see it, because the thought goes in, it goes thought, ding, 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 I think I want it. Very simplified, but that's the way these things look at. That's why we got to look at these things. God wants us to look at the very generic, basic things, but your eyes see it, and if you think on it, it comes into your heart, you respond to it. Now, if it's that of God, hallelujah! But it's that of Satan or wanting to get you sidetracked where, you know, we're not guarding our heart, then the enemy has won, and he's going, did good that day, got him sidetracked there. But here it is, all I'm saying, make sure we need to make sure our affections lead us on that right direction. Put boundaries on your desires. Don't go after everything you see. Look straight ahead. Keep your eyes fixed on the things God has for you. There's so much out there that he has for each of you. Do you believe that? You better believe it because he has. He's a loving, caring, giving God. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to succeed. That's the thing. Remember Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, and 13 that got me on this path of God is when I was wondering about that. And I began to read in Scripture that particular version that I had in the motel room where I was staying that night when I was out on the road when he said, I have plans for you to succeed, not fail. I tell you what, guys, in our life, when we're in a career, our thought and process and thinking all the time in our career is what? To succeed, to prosper, to maintain, to go, to grow, to develop. That's what life is about. In the natural, jobs and things of that nature, and if you're on a career path, you want to succeed. As I'm out there with my job and I see that, but God says, Tim, I want you to succeed, not to fail. Call on me and I will hear your prayers. I don't know. Let me just turn here. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Jeremiah 29:11. To give you a future and a hope. We talked in Sunday school, hope. People don't have hope out there anymore. Why? Because they look at the circumstance, they look at this world, and this world can take away your prosperity. This world can take away your gumption to go. This world will drain out your hope because you see so much going on that you're saying it's impossible. Anyway, God is saying thoughts and peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Not a future hope, but he's going to give me a future and a hope. Then, verse 12, you will call upon me and go and pray to me. That's what I was doing in my times of changing, and what was God doing in my life? I was praying and seeking and praying and seeking, asking him about these things. I was calling upon him. I was praying to him. Every time I was praying, every time I was seeking him, he was listening to me. Whether I was on the road driving, whether I was in a motel room, whether I was at church on Sunday, whatever the case is, when I was searching and wanting more of God and to please him more than please the world and to fulfill a call on my life that I didn't even know I had until it snuck up on me. But this scripture is not just for ministry and God taking you in a path of pastoring. This is a scripture, and it's good to know in your daily life. Then you will call upon me, and I will go, and you go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. But here it is. This word. Remember how we talk about when God gets you on a word or a phrase? Listen to the last word of 13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your the heart. When you seek him, when you search him, when you with all your heart, he will be found by you. And he's not hiding. He's not hiding behind this bush, and you think, oh, I'm getting close, I'm getting close. Next time you go looking for him, he goes, oh, I'm over here now. He's playing his hide and seek. He's not playing hide and seek with you. He says, I am right where I've always been. I'm going to be here, and you're just going to find me when you seek and search for me with your whole heart. Hallelujah. Look straight ahead. Keep your eyes fixed on the things God has for you. Don't get sidetracked on detours that very well may lead you into sin. We can look at this thinking, oh, there's that big word, three letters, but a big word, sin. Oh, it must be promiscuity. It must be this. It must be running around, womanizing. It must be drinking, alcohol, drugs. Oh, no, 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 no. Because in his word, he's very simple with this, where he says to know to do good and not do it is... The world looks at sin as, ooh, the big sin. God looks at sin as any time you don't honor me, you stray from me to the point of you're not listening, you know what you should be doing, but you're not, that is sin. Okay, I've done that a few times, but guess what I did? Dear God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't do what you've instructed me to do. I'm sorry I missed it. I'm sorry I missed it. You sent it. I heard it. I read it. I felt it. Your spirit spoke to me. But for whatever reason, my flesh decided, well, I'll put that off. In my transitional times, I told God, God, I love you. God, I love my job, my career so much that after I'm done here, I would be glad to come and serve you. Anybody ever done that with God? But when God has got you and he's talking to you, when he tells you by that of the Spirit into your spirit, so you want to give me your leftovers? That'll tear you up, guys, when you've got a relationship with God the Father. It was like he was sitting in that car. Yeah, I'll serve you, God. Let me do this. I enjoy what I'm doing. After I retire in a few years, I'll be able to do that and have all kinds of time to give you. Dun, 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 dun. Praise God, I'm such a good guy of God. I didn't know he was sitting in the next seat to me here. Yeah? Oh, God. So you want to give me your leftovers, huh, Tim? It broke me. It broke me. I said, no, God. I don't want to give you my leftovers. I want to give you the best that I've got. And I don't know what I got because I don't know what I have the best of. But I will come and serve and search and surrender. And it wasn't 100%. Still not there yet. I'm not boasting on any of that. But those things I began to do and change was my heart. A heart change. A thought process was changing. You got to stop thinking about what I'm going to gain in the world. I got to start thinking of what I've got in glory. Got to stop thinking about what I can do here and, oh, I'm going to be such a great this and that. I got to start thinking about what God has planned for me, and I want to fulfill his plans, not my plans. So, guard your heart above all else. It determines the course of your life. I love the passion. Here it is here. Same Proverbs 4:23. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellsprings of life. You know, God's word talks about where he will open up a spring in a desert. You look at a desert, looks pretty dry, bare, no water. But with God, he can open up a spring where there is no spring. You get out there, all of a sudden it's, what's this in the sand? Something bubbling. Get a little bit closer, you're paying attention, all of a sudden what starts out is just moving the sand a little bit, all of a sudden it begins to come a little bit more, and like, well, there's a little bit of moisture. That sand is not just white, it's kind of a dark brown because it's what? Wet. God begins to make that in the desert, that spring. In our hearts, as we do the surrendering, as we begin the serving, I believe that's those things because out of the well flows living water. You know, we want more of that in us. But I believe in our hearts, we begin to get a different moisture content going into our hearts, and the spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me that so rich and free. Something like that. The Lord wants to begin to invigorate you with a new life. He wants a new water source to come into you. And that water source has to flush out the world's gunk and contamination. And we know the world's got a lot of that, right? Water contamination. But God can come in and begin to do a water change. You know, that's what they talk about in the lakes and different things like that, where they speak about. Now, and this is the thing. When it's a lake, it goes through seasons, right? And you guys that know this stuff, I don't know anything about this, but I read. But it talks about the water turns over. And it's changing because it's a purpose. Purifies, gets the nutrients, does a change, a water cycling. Now, that's only when it's in a lake or something that's not being moved by that of a river and a stream. When it's a water of stream and river, it's just flowing. I don't know, maybe there's some turning over of that, I don't know, but a constant motion of a river, it's changing and it's awesome, awesome. As we see these things, that's what the Lord is wanting to do in us, is he wants to bring in a new well of water to us. And he wants to refresh us. And that's these things here of being paying attention to our hearts. So anyway, the wellspring of life. The Hebrew word here for that of heart, okay, L-E-V-A-V, is the most common word for heart. It includes what? Thoughts, our wills. Ooh. Once you can get past the will of a person, our kids, any kids here have a strong-willed child? And you have a strong-willed spouse? Not in our household. We're perfect, aren't we, honey? She didn't throw anything, did she? I love you. He's still working on me. She's still working on me, too. To make me what she wants me to be. Yeah. It's a process.
Rome wasn't built in a day, honey. Yeah, but come on.
So the heart, it includes our thoughts, our wills, our discernment, and our affections. The heart, the Hebrew understanding of that, includes our thoughts, wills, discernment. We have to discern. You've got to discern what's right, guys. Right? The enemy will want to do all kinds of things out there that seems good, sounds good, looks good, smells good, tastes good. But you better discern it with that of the Spirit of God. Because it could be something foul in there. Foul in them there hills. You know, you got to discern it. Then we look at the wellspring of life. Although most translations have the issues of life, the Hebrew word, yasa, whatever, Y-A-S-A, is actually seasons. So that's why it says the wellspring of life, or you look at the Amplified, from it flows the springs of life, springs, life. So it talks about the Hebrew word for wellspring is especially springtime. Out of your heart flow the seasons of life. How neat that is. We're all in different seasons, aren't we? But with my God, I know I'm going to continue to have another season and another season. And it's not that he's sending me around the hill again and again and again. It's just like, you know, everything just keeps processing. We go through a season. That's why I love some of the times where, you know, is God got his sense of humor? Because, you know, people used to go down south to get out of the winter, right? They just wanted one season, spring and summer, spring and summer. Wow, this last year, all of a sudden, they've got snow. Did you know just a day or so back, they had like 6 inches of snow in Texas? He does. It's like, that's true too. But it's like, you know, he changes the seasons and he's moving things around. I'm going to go south so I get out of the winter. Ding, da, ding, da, ding. Boy, do I have a joke for you. And so we're sitting up here and they're down there. But God changes the seasons. Things move. Things happen. God is awesome. I just laugh. So it is our hearts. It's not our age. It's not your circumstance that shape the seasons of our lives. If our hearts are tender to God, we can live in a perpetual springtime. Spring. Spring. What do you think when you think of spring? Fresh. Buds are coming. Your smell in the air is different. Freshness is there. Things are popping loose. The springtime. My goodness. But I think it'd be awesome to live in a continual springtime in your life. So, you know, two things came to me when I was thinking of this last night late. We hear things like, oh, they're going about that wholeheartedly. With their whole heart. We're serving with our whole heart. And then, if there's not that, and somebody is doing something for you, and you can tell this when they do it half-half, that then we say, oh, you know, they're only doing it half-heartedly. We look at that of God. Are you serving God wholeheartedly or half-heartedly? Wholeheartedly is this. Completely and sincerely devoted. Devoted to God. It's completely and sincerely devoted. It's being determined. It's with that of enthusiastic. Isn't it fun to serve God? Enthusiasm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. But Look at all the bad times. Look at all the bad, the crazy things happening. I don't care about those things. I'm serving God. I'm enthusiastic because I know where my help comes from. I want to serve Him devotedly, determined, and with enthusiastic. It's also marked by a complete, earnest commitment. Oh, don't want to commit to that. Ooh. It's free from all reserve or hesitation. Everybody, please stay seated. Don't get up and leave now. You're going to say, man, these things are zinging me now. Lock the door. You that very well get up need to be the ones that hear it. I'm going to sit down and listen to this. It was knocking me off my feet, guys. Oh, my goodness. But no, look at that. So we talk about when people say, oh, they're wholehearted in. They're all the way in. They're serving totally. Oh, marked by a complete, earnest commitment. That's what God wants. He wants our commitment to be there, to serve Him, to allow Him in. He committed Jesus' totality to us. Wasn't no halfway. Crucifixion just doesn't go halfway and then it's done. It's all the way, complete. I would say Jesus was committed to going to the cross. He was committed to fulfilling His Father's plans. It brought tears to His Father, things of that nature. But that was because He's looking at it as, wow, the pain and the suffering. It's marked by complete earnest commitment, and it's also this, free from all reserve or hesitation. I'm to serve God wholeheartedly. And it's hard, guys. But I want to throw these out to you to at least think about these things and pray about them and to realize when you say this, and sometimes we just willy-nilly say things, right? Oh, I'm going to serve God with all my heart. 3 days later, you don't even know who He is. Sunday comes, I'm back in there, I'm going to serve Him with all my heart. Be aware that you got to be devoted and determined. You got to do these things. Now, if I look at what? The half-hearted. And I could get into that. There's times I've done half-heartedness with God. Oh, I wish I was perfect. Wouldn't that be nice? Just about the time I thought I was perfect, I'm sure God would say, what about this, Tim? Oh, you got me there, God. Okay. Put away that badge that says I'm perfect. Okay, God, I'll put this off and take it and put it on some other time. Half-hearted. It's lacking heart. It's lacking spirit. Lacking interest. People don't even have an interest of God. They could care less about God. Why? Because their eyes are fixed on things of this world that's taking them away from the things of God. So, out of sight, out of mind. If I looked at that half-heartedness, and this is where I'm going to end with this, and you know it, but the synonym of that is lukewarm. You know? Being half-hearted with God is you're serving Him with a lukewarm heart. Is there anything in the Bible that says something about lukewarmness? It's great to have. Something you always want to attain to? Sounds don't get you sick, do they? I should have asked before I did that, because now look, there's a mile over here. Do I digress? Oh, wait, my whole heart. I've got to get my heart. Oh, my mind could really start going now. Do what? Pre-Jude extra, yes. Save it. Oh, Lord, we get off the topics here. Lukewarm. Look at that word, lukewarm. Definition of that is lacking conviction. Conviction is having a strong persuasion or a belief. So you lack it. You don't have a strong conviction. You don't have a belief. You don't have a persuasion. I'm lukewarm. I just like going to church every once in a while. And I don't know, do I have to pray? I'll pray maybe today, and I'll pray next month. I'll go to church next month. You know, that lukeness, that we're just not totally in. Now, we find that in Revelations, and that's where we're going to end. And you guys know this. And this is the importance of this, is that the heart. Remember, guard your heart. You guys all, we are all charged with this. As Solomon was sharing there, we are charged with, you are charged with guarding your heart. And you better be doing a good job of it, because these things creep in and pretty soon it's like, oh boy. Revelations 3, 15 and 16, the New King James. I know your works. And this is talking about the churches and things that were there that he's going through those seven churches. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and you're neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. The Amplified says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. And that in the Amplified would say that you are neither cold, invigorating, or refreshing, nor you're hot, healing and therapeutic. So if you're cold, anybody jump in? Anybody done those polar bear plunges?
Yeah.
That'll get you invigorated, right? Boo! I mean, if I want to do that, I just go into the shower and turn it. I try to do that around, so I'll stay in the shower. I'll say, warm or hot, I go, okay, I'm going to back this down. I had an officer tell me one time in the police department that he said he takes cold showers because of their studies and all. He says what it does is it helps you internally. It causes the blood flow to go into your organs, to protect your organs, which that helps because then your organs get cleansed with that blood goes whoosh, and then it comes back out. So he says he does that, and I said, well, if he can do it, I can do it. Well, I did it for a while. But I do every once in a while. I like to stand in and just see how far cold I can go. But there's a purpose for all that. It's interesting. But I wish that you were cold or hot, alive. I wish you were cold or hot, alive and productive is what he's saying, beneficially in one way or the other. So because you are lukewarm, spiritually useless. Oh, boy, Daddy just slapped us down. Want to slap down? Because you're lukewarm, that being spiritually useless, and you're neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth, which is rejecting you with disgust. Wow. Oh, God. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, gives us all something to think about. Serving God with your heart, guard your heart. And so we want to continue to always monitor that. I would say monitor your heart. Kind of take a check of it. Ask the Spirit, ask the Lord. Lord, you know, what is there that I should change? What is it, Lord, that's keeping me closer from getting to you? Whatever the case is. Because ultimately, Lord, what it is, I want to be close to you. I want to honor you, represent you. I want to be invigorated by you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to share and help others, whatever the case is. And so we all have to take hold of that and begin to pay attention. Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you for the word of today. Lord, I pray that you will continue to move mightily in our hearts. Lord, we are not there yet, but we're getting there. So continue to work within us, cleanse us, and renew us, Lord. Show us within ourselves individually, Lord, some things that maybe we need to focus a little bit more on in that of your word or serving you. Lord, we pray that we are just invigorated more and more with you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're patient, and that you're full of grace and mercy, and that you're working on us. But we need to be aware of where we're at with you. Many times, Lord, I've heard people say, well, God knows my heart. And Lord, you gave me that to say that to them at one time, but do you know God's heart? And Lord, I pray today that we walk out of here wanting to know more of your heart so that we can please you, and that you will see a change in us. Not for us to stand out, not for us to blow our own horn, but Lord, so that we can bring honor and glory to you. For it was without you, Lord, I can't do anything. So thank you for continually working within me and on me. I love you. And I know you love me because of that of Jesus coming. So as we leave today, Lord, I pray, put a spring in our steps. Give us a good week ahead. And Lord, when we come back, whether it's Thursday study or next Sunday, Lord, we come back invigorated, excited for more of you. We ask it now in Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, I ask your blessings on the gift and the giver as they sow into the ministry, Lord, that you